Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, yeah, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey guys, right out of the chute here, before I forget, I want to lift up Sarah. She's in having surgery done even right now, skin graft going in first thing this morning. So Lord, we just thank you for your healing power, Lord. We ask that you would touch Sarah in the hands of the doctors, that you would direct it, Lord, and let that body heal itself, return to normalcy, Lord. We pray for not a lot of pain. We pray for the guiding the hands of the surgeons and the skin graft, and it should be up and at him here soon, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. As always, couldn't wait to get in here today. Coach Dave from the cornfields outside of Columbus, Ohio. Been ruminating. Is that a word? That's a word. That's a verb, isn't it? I've been ruminating. I don't want to get bogged down on this March for Life and those lesbian devils and all that stuff we saw out there. But guys, there's a lesson to be learned in that. And I don't want to lose that lesson. Hey, Jared, do me a favor. Jump on my Facebook page. I didn't send that link to you. Jump on. I want to show something. I continue to fight the same fight. Continue to fight the same one. Hey, Jared, if you scroll down there, I want you to get to that link about Right Wing Watch. I want to show people that. There it is. You can stay right there a second. We don't need to play it yet. I continue to fight the same fight. And this is what I want to speak with us about today. I want you guys to join in and share in here with me. Let me stop real quickly. Anybody out there who went with us to Washington, D.C. this week and took any video at all, send that to me. Send any of the video clips that you have. And if it's too big and you don't know how to transfer it, get a hold of Jared or email me and I'll connect you with Jared, because we're going to make a little video. We think it's important that people see exactly what it was that we were dealing with when we were in Washington, D.C., the spirit of rebellion that is at work in Washington, D.C. And if you weren't there, you don't know what it's about. You don't know what it's about. And I've reached a point in my life, my career, call it whatever you want to. Well, I'm not going to be controlled by the enemy anymore. I'm not going to let them dictate to me what I can and can't do, or let them dictate to me what is and is not the Bible. Now, we had a couple clips that when we were at the inauguration, not the March for Life, when we were at the inauguration, we took on those anarchists. I got to get some of those to Terry as well. We took on those anarchists. You know what we find out there? They got no argument. They got no argument. But the reason they win is because Christians don't have any argument, or Christians won't even engage in the debate. And we want to talk about we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Hey, I don't know about you, JR, but wrestling, I used to coach wrestling. That's not a hug 'em sport. That's not a hug 'em sport. That's an aggressive, dominating, I'm going to dominate you sport. In fact, the end of a wrestling match is so humiliating because somebody grabs you and puts your shoulders down on the ground and holds you down, and the referee smacks the mat, said, boom, he got you, boy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So are we supposed to be wrestling for a tie? Is that what we're supposed to be doing? Are we supposed to just go wrestle to make sure that we don't get pinned? The devil doesn't pin us. And if we walk away and our nose is bloody and we got a big old cauliflower ear and a big old puffed up eye and cotton stuck up in our noses, have we won because we didn't get pinned? Is that where we are? That's Christianity. You can say what you want. When we were out there, you all know this. All of you guys know this. They hate the gospel. They hate the gospel. They hate the true gospel of Jesus. They hate it. They've rewritten it. They've made it love, 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 love. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You can believe this or you cannot believe this. Those who know me will attest to this. I'm not talking about the guys in the queue even. Those who know me. I got the biggest heart. I'd do anything for anybody. I will. But that don't make me a sissy. My buddy Flip Benham told me that I have alligator skin. Great big heart. I do. But I'm smart enough to realize that in this war that we're in, hey, Rich, a great big heart's going to betray me. If I'm fighting this great big battle that I'm fighting out of love, which I am, a clear understanding of love, if I fight a fight where I don't want the other guy to lose, what do they call that? Killer instinct? If I'm fighting a fight without any killer instinct, we're going to get our butts beat. So I feel like I'm on a personal journey to try to wake people up, not that I'm right, but that their eyes would open and understand that this love gospel that we've been spewing since John Lennon, all you need is love, la, 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 la. Since he's been spewing that, we are getting farther and farther. We're getting pinned more and more and more. Because we don't have a very good understanding of what love is, in my opinion. We don't understand. They're telling us to love our enemies. Love your enemies. So that means let the Muslims come in. Love them. Let them come on in here. Love your enemies. Yeah, so that means let the homos come in, make you bake a cake, take you to court, sue you for $100,000. Love them. Love them. Well, I love them enough to beat them. I want to love them enough to beat them. I want to love them enough to show them the fear of the Lord that they'll turn and come to Jesus. Because it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of wisdom. And I'm going to tell you, my friends, you can go where we were this weekend. And you can stand on that street corner. And you can tell people how much Jesus loves them. And you're going to find out two things. Number one, they already know that. And number two, they don't care. They think they are right. And we're called to earnestly contend for the faith. Now, you can go through the scriptures. You can go through your life. And can you tell me how you possibly contend? How can you possibly win any battle just by being nice? I heard this several times. I got Jared evidently has he wants to play that mad as hell thing. Yeah, we'll play that in a second here, Jared. Because I am mad as hell. I think the Lord says to be angry and sin not. He didn't say don't be angry. He says be angry and don't get in the flesh. Be angry. Righteous anger. See any righteous anger in the church? Anybody see any righteous anger in the church anywhere? If you do, point me that direction, will you? And so I post stuff on my Facebook page yesterday. It wasn't as bad as usual. And they start talking about love. You got to love them, coach. You got to love them. You got to love them. You got to love them. Do I really? What does that mean? What does that look like? Love your neighbor. Love your enemies. And I went round and round with the guy yesterday on my email telling me that what we need to do is we need to just embrace the Buddhists and the Muslims and the Shintos because they all have a God consciousness and ultimately we're all going to go to the same place. We have to make this a family of religions. And Jay-Z, claiming to be a Christian, this guy was. And see, he contacted me to rebuke me. If the Lord allows us today, I'm going to show you a picture of Jesus you ain't never seen. I promise you, I am. And you can get this image of Jesus. And again, well, so I got up there. I'm kind of proud of this. Maybe I shouldn't be. There we are again, boys. Right Wing Watch. Good morning. They're watching us right now. Somebody at Right Wing Watch is watching us. Robert Mainville watched us yesterday. Listen to this. This is so good. Hey, Right Wing Watch, I love it when the devil spreads our message. Thank you for spreading our message. What's the headlines? Dave Dobenmeyer, men who joined the Women's March on Washington are sissies. That's me. I said that on this show yesterday. Look what they wrote. Saturday's Women's March on Washington was bound to bring protests from radical figures such as David Dobenmeyer on his Past Assault program today. The religious right activist, thank you, Jesus, shared a video of himself heckling marchers by calling male participants sissies and telling women, you're the one who spread your legs. Don't blame the baby. Guilty. I did that. And you know what I'm really happy about? They watched the video. But he's not done. As a protester responded to Dobenmeyer's antagonizing other marchers, he responded by shouting, hey, sir, you're a sissy. You're a sissy. That's right. If you were a real man, you wouldn't force your wife to be out here. You say, well, my husband supports me. Ah, sure. You married a woman. That's what you did. You married a sissy man. You're the one who spread his legs. Don't blame the baby, Dobenmeyer shouted at other marchers. And Dobenmeyer continued to attack the march and announced that feminism is the rebellion against the laws and rules of God. Thank you, Right Wing Watch, for exposing that truth to all of your viewers. Oh, but those Christians did like it. Coach, there's you saying those mean things, and those people will never come to Jesus because of all those mean things that you said. See, here's the difference, Rich. I know I'm in a wrestling match. I know I'm fighting a war. And I'm not going to stand there and let them beat up on me. I'm not going to stand there. Go ahead, Rich.
Dave, their tactics are no longer going to work. This name calling that they're done, not going to work with us no more.
It ain't going to work. It isn't going to work. And I see people normally when I put something like this up on Facebook, I get a thousand responses. Not so many this time. You know why? Because the good Christians didn't really want to come out and criticize me because they knew I'd come back at them. So here's where we are, my men. We're going to have to figure out here. We want to be like Jesus? Well, then we better figure out what Jesus looked like, what he did, and recognize his techniques. You with me today? Anybody want to say in here before I dive into this stuff at all? Judge not. I'm tired of them telling me what I can and can't say. I'm tired of them. When the Bible very clearly, Jared, go to Matthew 7, verse 1. It's time for us to stand up and push back. Hey, Rich, I'm all man. I ain't going to take it. Hey, Jared. I'm mad as hell and I ain't going to take it anymore. We'll play that here in a second. Because right, let me give you a little bit of an instruction here, okay? Matthew 7. This is the King of Kings speaking. Judge not that you be not judged. He's saying this. He says, be careful. Because when you judge, they're going to judge back at you. Okay? For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. So if you are fat, don't judge fat people. Right? It doesn't say if I'm a cello player, I can't judge other cello players. That's how you do it. It can't say that if I'm a filmmaker, I can't judge filmmakers because you go to California, and they have all kinds of judgment of filmmakers of which one's the best one and which one gets the Oscar and which one gets the Emmy. They judge constantly. They said, but be very careful because the same way you judge, you're going to be judged. Okay, I'm cool with that. Anybody okay? I'm okay with that. And why do you notice the mote that's in your brother's eye, that great big problem that you have, but considereth not the beam that's in yours? First, or when, I'm sorry. Or how will you say to your brother, let me help you quit smoking when you're smoking? Quit smoking yourself, and then you can help your brother. Verse 5, you hypocrite, first throw down your own cigarettes. Then you can help your brother stop smoking his. Paraphrasing a bit here, all right? Give not that which is the holy unto the dogs. Neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under the feet and turn again and rend you. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Here's the point. You aren't a judge. You just better be careful. We're to judge righteously. We're supposed to judge righteously and non-hypocritically, meaning we can't do it and them do it. Anybody want to say anything there before I move on? This goes on and on and on. We're told all throughout the scriptures to judge, and it's amazing that when we're out there, the other side's constantly judging us, and we don't get it. We don't realize it.
Yeah, you just said it, Coach. When they come up and tell you not to judge, then they're judging you while they say that. So they're allowed to, but we're not. See, that's the way they are.
We're not allowed to judge. Now, I'm going to show you. Yeah.
The other aspect of this, too, is even though they look at us as judging, what they don't understand is we stand there to do the rebuking. And if you do a search for the rebuke, you'll find it all over Mark and in the New Testament. Jesus rebuked everywhere he went, casting out the demons.
Sarge, I'm on page two and you're on page 12. You've been looking at my game plan. That's all right, brother.
No, it's just.
No, you're right. Here's what Wayne just, Pastor Wayne, put over here. It's off my, he put it on Facebook. You know what he said? I judge myself by the Bible. So therefore, I can judge others by the Bible. That's non-hypocritical. You understand? The same measure I'm using. What's that, Rich?
Love your neighbor as you love yourself. We're to judge ourselves before we judge others.
Yes. And when we do, when we get that spark out of our, when we get that thing out of our own eye, then we can help our buddy, right? This is not judging. It's not judging. Okay. You ready?
Hey, before you go on, all you guys out there that think we're not supposed to judge, that verse 7:1 of Matthew, it's the Greek word krino. It doesn't mean determine right or wrong. It means condemn. It means condemn. We're not to condemn others. But boy, if we don't tell them what they're wrong when they're wrong.
They're condemned already, though, Larry.
We stand guilty of not loving them.
Amen, brother.
Enough to tell them the truth.
Okay, I'm going to take us through a journey. I'm going to show you a different Jesus this morning. All right? Go Matthew 10 real quick, Jared. Hey, Jared, say that I'm mad as hell because we're going to watch that. That's good. I'm mad as hell. Anybody else mad as hell? I'm mad as hell. Let's go to Matthew 10, verse 34, Jared. Now, my friends, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but this is Jesus, okay? If we want to be like Jesus, then let's be like Jesus. Verse 32 of Matthew 10 says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, will I confess him before my Father which is in heaven. Hey, Rich, I confessed him before men out there Saturday. It was women. I was confessing him before women. Think not, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Keep in mind, who is Jesus? By his own self-identification, he is the truth. Right? And so if you are confessing Jesus to men, you are confessing the truth to them. Verse 34, this is Jesus. All you love, loves. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Nope, I didn't come to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man, said I'm a troublemaker. I've come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. And he that loves his family more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves his son or daughter is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And he that receives me, and he that receiveth you receives me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. But he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall drink, give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of the disciple. Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So Jesus says, I've come to make a mess here. I've come to make some trouble. And we're going to come and understand at some point that for the most part, they crucified Jesus for what he said, not for what he did. Oh, he did some things that ticked them off. But he stood before Pilate. And Pilate said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, I find nothing wrong in this man. I don't find anything wrong. Jesus hadn't done anything. He hadn't violated any law. But keep this in mind. He's going to go into the temple and he's going to flip over tables. He's going to call people names. Remember, Jesus never sinned. He never sinned. And he calls people's names. Rich, isn't that a sin? Wouldn't that be considered a sin today? If I called some lady out at the march a whore, wouldn't Christians say to me, that's a sin? That's a sin, coach. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be calling names. That's not Christ-like. Really? Really? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to take you on a little journey here. You're willing to jump in here anytime you want to. I'm just gonna let Jesus' word speak for himself. Jared, we're gonna go a little journey here. Let's go to Matthew 8:28, Jared. Okay, there you go. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gadarenes, there met unto him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Hey, Rich, that's what's been blocking us, see? Those demons who will not let us pass by. You with me? And behold, they cried out, saying, when Jesus comes by, what are we to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time? See, the demons, they see the power of Jesus. Say, no, they don't want him to mess with him, right? Right? There's a good way off of them, a herd of many swines feeding. So the devils besought him, said, Lord, if I cast us out, suffer us to go into those pigs. And he said, okay, go. Get out of here. And when they come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. I said, watch this. And they that kept them fled. So the farmers fled, and they went their ways into the city, and they told everybody everything and what had befallen the pest possessed of the devil. They weren't surprised about it. You should see what Jesus did to those devils. Now watch this. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him, please get out of here. Huh? They didn't say, come on in town, get rid of some more, get rid, help us more. No, 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 no. then
they call it drama. Don't bring your drama up in here.
Too much drama in here. Let's go to verse. Let's go to the next verse, chapter 9, Jared. I just wrote some things down here. And he entered into a city, a ship. He passed over and he came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemeth." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore or why do you think of evil in your hearts?" What's easier to say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Rise up and walk"? He said, "Okay, boys, I'm going to show off. But so that you know that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins. Hey, buddy, get up. Walk." But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given him much power. Verse 14, keep going. Came to pass that Jesus sat at meat in the house. Behold, many publicans and sinners. Lost me there, Jared. What verse am I in? Came to pass that Jesus sat at 10. Behold, many publicans and sinners came, sat down with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, "Why are you eating with the master? Why is he sitting with all those sinners?" And Jesus heard it. And he rebukes him, says that they that be whole don't need a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I have come to call the righteous. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but the disciples do not?" They're picking at him. I'm going to move on here. I want you to see, where is that one, Lord? Let's go to Matthew. I wrote it down. 23, Jared. Matthew 23. Remember, speaking harshly to people, he meets the woman at the well. What does he say to the woman of the well? This isn't the woman of the well. What did he say to her? He said, "Where's your husband?" She says, "I don't have one." He said, "Yep, daggone right. You've been married 4 times. The dude you're living with now, you ain't even married him." Read her mail. Everywhere he goes, he stirs up controversy with what he says. And it, most often, if you just read your Bible, most often it isn't a nice thing he's saying. He is not saying nice things to people.
Dave?
Yes?
Go back to 9:10, Matthew 9:10. I think this is what we were doing in D.C. "For I have not come to call the righteous." And I'm assuming one could take that to call out the sinner, to call to the sinner.
Absolutely.
Call out sin.
See,
I think that's what we were doing in D.C., whether you call it rebuke or to call out the sinner. That's what Jesus was teaching.
That is. And as Pastor Wayne said, what was the standard he was using? The scripture. What was the standard we were using? The scripture. And we're calling sinners to repentance. Hey, doesn't feel very good to Christians.
Hey, you know when Jesus saw evil in the religious activity that was going on around him? He didn't say, "Well, we're going to put up with it." He didn't say, "Come on in and overtake my household. Come on in and eat our lunch for us." He said, "You are of your father, Satan." He looked him in the eyeball and rebuked him.
Amen. So we're in Matthew 23. Somebody keep a tally for me here, JR. And let's see how many times he calls names. All right? Let's see how many times. Verse 13 of Matthew 23. You guys can read along with me. Hey, Roger, I'm just trying to be like Jesus, okay? I'm just trying to be like Jesus here. That's all I'm doing. All right? Verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, one name call. You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, he uses it again, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, you hypocrites. You compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than you yourselves. 16, woe unto you blind guides, name call, which say, whosoever swear by the temple, it's nothing, but whosoever swear by the gold on the temple, he's a debtor. Woe, ye fools and blind, there you are. For who's greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? Verse 18, and whosoever swear by the altar, is it nothing? But whoever swears by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. You fools and blind, who's greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar swears by it and by all things thereon. And whosoever swears by the temple swears by it, saith, and be him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God, him that sit upon it. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You pay tithe, mint, and anise, and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These all ye that have done, not to have done the other stuff. You blind guides, you strain a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and you Pharisees, you hypocrites! If you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. You blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of it may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and you Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you're like unto whitened sepulchres, name calling, which indeed appear beautiful outside, but are full of dead men's bones inside, name cleaning all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're all full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and you Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you be witnesses unto yourself that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets, wise men, and scribes, and some of them you kill and crucify, and some of them you scourge in your synagogues, and you persecute them from your city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel and under the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you killed the prophets and stoned them which are sent up to thee. How often would I have gathered, there's mercy, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chicks under her wings, but you wouldn't let me. So boys, your house is desolate. For I say unto you, don't miss this. You shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Huh? So, am I missing something here?
Out of all the names he called people, hypocrites, he repeated 7 times.
Mm-hmm. 7 times he said hypocrites. 7 times. Now, if Jesus, do you suppose, I mean, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Nicodemus was changed by this rebuke. Let's go to John 3. I'm going to prove it to you. John 3. Hey, Nicodemus is one of the dudes he's yelling at here. Right? Hey, guys, we were chumming. Were we chumming the other day? Were we rebuking him? were we calling them out? And what would happen? Some of them would show up. Now look at this, John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. I think I have this in chronological order. I could be wrong. But Jesus just read them their mail, and look what happens. Nicodemus, verse 2, comes to see Jesus by night, undercover, see? And he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with you. And Jesus said to him, hey, Nick, listen, man, I'm going to tell you the truth. Unless you're born again, you ain't going to get this. You ain't going to get it. Nick said unto him, how can a man be born again? Jesus said, you can't. How do you get back in your mommy's womb and be born a second time? Jesus said, come on, man. Come on, man. Unless a man be born of water and of the Spirit, ooh, those are two different things, it looks like. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that's born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit and spirit. Don't marvel, I said, you must be born again. For the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound therein, but canst not tell whence it came and whither it goeth. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Now help me out here. I'm going to show my Bible illiteracy here. Wasn't Nicodemus the one that came and took him off of the cross and gave him a place to be buried? Am I right on that one, Larry? Was it Nicodemus? I'm pretty sure it was. And not only that, Nicodemus went and...
It was.
Nicodemus came and put him in somebody else's tomb. So evidently, Nicodemus convinced another one of these guys he got yelled at. And so there were some in the Pharisees and the Sadducees, don't miss this, who were moved by the rebuke. I can go on and on and on and on with things. Just do me a favor. If you want to really do a Bible study, you pick up Matthew, and you start in about Matthew 8, and you go through about Matthew 15, and you're going to find Jesus ticking people off everywhere he went. You're not going to find him being nice. In fact, you're going to find him asking very piercing questions. Jesus didn't do a whole lot of telling them the truth. He guided them to the truth. He guided them to the truth by asking questions. So we're out there on Saturday, and you say to one of those guys, hey, what rights don't you have? They couldn't even answer. Jesus is doing the same thing here. Aren't you guys supposed to be doing this? How come you're not doing this? And that's your fifth husband? You kidding me? You with me? So then we turn to the book of Jude. Let's go there.
Hey, Dave.
Yep.
You know, here is some truth. One of the men that we rebuke the strongest in D.C. walked away and came back later and repented to us.
Mm-hmm.
We come back and he said, we hit him probably the hardest.
We never flinched. Right?
Rich, I remember calling him. I remember calling him a fool, and he got pissed.
I remember it too.
I'm reading what Michael Ortega put down. This is true. Michael said, one thing to remember, there was no Bible in the time of Jesus or Paul. There wasn't any Bible. Not as we know it. It didn't come until the 15th century. There were only manuscripts. Paul asks for them. There were rolls of scripture in the tabernacle. There weren't Bibles. People didn't have Bibles. So Jesus is speaking to them out of the law. Do you understand this? He is speaking the law to them. So here's Jude. We don't like to go here, but I'm going to take you there. Brother Jesus. Jared, let's start on verse 3. Scroll down a little bit. Hey, guys, listen. I just want to be like Jesus. That's all I want to do. I want to speak the truth regardless of what the consequences are. I want to speak the truth even though it doesn't witness to others. Do you remember we just read that in the Gadarenes? That Jesus cast out all those devils, and what did the people say to him? Get out of here, please. Get out of here. Get out of here. They didn't receive it. Beloved, Jude, Jesus' brother, half-brother, when I came, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There it is again, contend. Hey, that's an action verb, is it not? Roger, is that an action verb, contend? Yeah, they're contending for the crown. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Do you follow that? This is demonic, boys. Ordained, before ordained. Ungodly men. And what they do? Why, they turned the grace of our Lord Jesus into lasciviousness. Lasciviousness means lawlessness. They said, grace, 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 no law. Grace, 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 don't worry about the law. You're forgiven, you're forgiven, you're forgiven. Don't worry about the law. And in doing so, they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them and didn't believe. And the angels which kept not the first estate, yes. Yes.
I think we saw on the man who came back to apologize, the perfect example of seeds and others watering. He was mad at some of us. He followed some of us around. We called him a fool. We told him he was wrong with what he thought in the Bible. Call it rebuke, call it whatever you want, but he got pissed. He later, that seed is planted. He later has a change of heart. He comes back to other men and begins to acknowledge he was wrong. Somebody else waters that seed. Our hope and prayer, road waters everything we put in him.
The seed does. That's it, right.
That's how it works.
Amen. I'm trying to see. Let's go to 14 because I don't have to read the whole thing. Let's go ahead, Jerry. This is all good. This is all good. Hey, guys, the disciples all lost their heads. They all lost their heads. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Why does the Lord come with 10,000 of his saints? To execute judgment upon all. Convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds. Did we say that? Did we say that on Saturday? To convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Huh? These are murmurers and complainers walking after their own lusts. He must have been at the parade. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration. Yeah, they were there worship Hillary and Obama and Ashley Judd and Madonna and Michael Moore. Yep. But beloved, remember, you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These being they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves under your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus unto eternal life. Watch! And of some, not all, have compassion, making a difference. But of others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That's what we do. It don't always look good. Floor's open. I'm reading a message here from Jim. Somebody jump in here.
Hey, Dave, I come home with, you know, we've been many places together over the last year, and I left a lot of places feeling defeated. I really did. And, you know, I look at D.C. and I think, you know, we weren't moved. We stood there. And if at anything, we at least tied. But, man, it put something in me. I don't want to lose and tie no more.
Well, Rich, I got to tell you, 400 to 15, 400,000 to 15, not 15,000. 400,000 to 15, that's a pretty good tie.
And we sent them stepping. They didn't move us.
They didn't move us.
And it was victory, even if it was a tie. I'm not sure what it was, but I know it put a power in me to say, no, I'm not going to stand for this no more.
Amen, baby. that's where I am, Rich. Hey, listen, Jim Kraft, Jim texted me. Listen to this. Coach, don't forget that for the greater part, the women and their effeminate men who are marching were putting forth through great drama that they had taken the moral and even religious high ground. That's right, Jim. They thought they were right. And in doing so, they made themselves the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh, that's turning the tables, isn't it? They were the scribes and the Pharisees. We were the sinners.
Hey, and Coach.
Hang on a second. Hang on just a second. And especially hypocrites of our own modern culture, as they are simply whores, yes, Jim, sluts, yes, Jim, baby killers, yes, Jim, or those who support such people and their ungodly actions. They need to be rebuked at every turn and called out for who and what they are. These are a composite of God haters, reprobates, and silly women. Only by rebuking them will some repent and turn to the living God. Amen, Jim. Yeah, Larry.
Can I connect a couple of dots for us?
I hope you can.
You know, your main thing today is to expose who Jesus was, how he operated, what he did. Well, how he operated is he did what the Father showed him to do. John tells us that.
Right.
And he teaches us to pray for God's will to be done, not for what we think needs to be done.
Right.
It's as it is in heaven. And how it is in heaven is just like he did it on earth. He did it by staying connected to letting God give him words and God lead his steps. We're to do the same thing. Jesus told us about that, especially when it comes to proclaiming the gospel, the word of God. He says, don't throw it on the street where the sun, you know, where Satan comes along and snatches it away. He said, don't throw it in the rocks and don't throw it in the thorny wind. He says, you take that precious word and you put it where it's supposed to go, like I'm doing. God's telling me where I'm supposed to put this word.
That's right.
We need to think of that instead of just building a plan and passing tracts out to everybody around the whole world. Did Jesus pass tracts out to everybody around the whole world?
No, he wouldn't pass out many tracts, I don't think.
Let's connect some dots and let's figure that God has a better plan than we do. So let's just purpose to get our plans out of the way and listen good enough to let him give us his plan.
Amen. Jared, Matthew 21. And let's go to verse 10. Yeah. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this guy? The multitude said, well, that's Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God. He cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple. And he overthrew the temples, the tablets, tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to God, the Son of David, they were pissed. You see that? Calling names again, isn't it? I'm sorry, I threw that word in there again. And he left him. And he went out of the city of Bethany and he lodged there. And Jesus was constantly going around pointing out and calling out sin. And his grace and his mercy came when people repented. Remember, guys, mercy follows judgment. Judgment, then mercy. And those of you who were there in D.C. know that we hammered. And then they came and we had individual conversations of mercy. The gospel of Jesus and the love of Jesus. For the most part, they're walking by. We didn't, many of them say, Coach, did you get anybody saved? I don't know. Got as many saved as you did sitting home. At least we had a chance to do it. Coach, did you show them the love of Jesus? Yeah, we sure did, but not the way you do it. We love them enough to tell them they're going to go to hell if somebody doesn't intervene. We loved them that much. We don't take them water and give them donuts and say, God bless you. No, no, no. We say, the wrath of God's abiding on you, sister. Wrath of God. You're in some serious trouble, baby. Huh? You look at you. You're killing babies. As Jim said, you're killing babies. You're fornicating. You're living a life of sin. And you want me to come here and tell you Jesus loves you? First of all, you better turn from your wicked ways. And if you don't turn from your wicked ways, okay, Lord, Ezekiel 3. Go there, Jared. Go there, Jared.
Hey, Dave, end of Jude, the last few verses of Jude. He says, save some with compassion.
Yep.
And save others, snatching them from the fire. That's a vile, that is loving.
Using fear.
Let's go, Jared, to verse, I think it's 13. I think it's 3:13. I hope I'm in the right place. No, I'm in the wrong one. Ezekiel. I said, where am I? Where are we? It should be Ezekiel 3. There it was. Keep going down. A little bit farther. It's like 16, Jared. There it is. There you go. Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them a warning from me. Hey, Rich, he doesn't say go out and tell them how much we love them. God is love. Go ahead. Hey, Coach, go out there and tell those guys that God's love. God's love. God loves you. God loves you. No. He said, you go out there and you give them a warning for me. When I say the Lord, God, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not a warning, nor speak to warn the wicked, God calls them wicked, from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his sin, but his blood I'm going to require at your hand. You know, you want to go around and try to love him in the kingdom, you go ahead and try to do that, but you better warn him. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and you give him not a warning, we require the blood at your hand. 19, yet if thou warn the wicked, he turns not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way. He's going to die in his sin, but you're okay. You delivered your own soul. And then he repeats the same thing for a righteous man. We're supposed to go warn the wicked, not love the wicked, not embrace the wicked. We're supposed to go warn them.
Question, Coach. Can anyone think of one time that Jesus ever went to anyone and said, I love you, when he was speaking to the world?
No. No. All of a sudden, somebody talk to me. I got something I got to try to find. I want to finish with this real quickly.
Hey, somebody, Coach.
Yeah, George, Coach, jump in here.
Hey, you know what I think? I think the majority of the preachers today, they love their money because they won't do what Jesus did. They love their money more than they love telling Christians what they really need to hear. The truth. And you know, that's why I think that's why Christians are falling into this trap of just this love.
Yeah, because they're not really seeing the truth about God, about warning the wicked. I'm sorry, I'm distracted here. I'm looking for something. Well,
actually, they have a distorted understanding of biblical love. That's what the problem is. They don't understand.
A distortion. That's good, Larry. That's good. It is a distortion. Is this it? Lord, help me find this.
And they didn't crucify Christ because he went around loving everybody.
No. Is this here, Lord? Let it be there. It's not there. I'll have to find it later. I want to show. Listen, guys. People out there who are watching this, scratching your head. Say, I never heard anything like this in my life. Stop it. Let me get hit. Listen. I'll get down on my knees and I'll pray with any sinner. And I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back. You don't have any idea. The hand of love and friendship and blessing of need that Pass the Salt Ministry makes to those who are in need. You don't have any idea. You don't have any idea. Pass the Salt Ministries is built on love. We're built on it. You see, we see the full counsel of God. We see the whole thing. Any of those people at that march where we were rebuking and calling them sissies and calling them names, if any of them had come and fallen on their knees and asked for forgiveness of God, I'd have taken them home. I'd have put them up in my house. I'd have fed them food. I'd have done everything. I'd have shown them the love of Jesus at that point. But see, they don't know the fear of God. They need the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. And if the Lord will use me to anger them, to draw them to the truth, some you got to rescue by pulling them out of the fire, Rich. Some you got to do it. And I'm going to tell you guys, this message of Jesus loves you, how's that been working out for us? Look around. We're losing our own children in the church. See, we are making the world, that our children have watched our attitude towards the sinful, and they understand they can be forgiven. So what happens? They leave our houses at age 18, they go to college, and they become twice the children of hell they were before. Why? Because they had just enough religion to know Jesus will forgive them. And that's the message we're sending to the world. And Jesus will forgive them. I want to, Jesus, when he's getting crucified, some of these things just pop into my head, my heart, and I say them. When Jesus is being crucified and they're taking him off the cross just before they finish him off. He's up on the cross. He looks up to heaven and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this is the same Jesus who just a few chapters before said, I have the power to forgive sins. Yet he's hanging on the cross and he says, Lord, you're going to have to forgive him this one. Dad, you're going to have to handle this one. And why? Because the only sin that can't be forgiven is the one that's unconfessed for. You can't forgive somebody if they haven't asked for forgiveness. So Jesus says, Dad, you got to take care of this one. I can't forgive him. And we've created a God who has unconditional forgiveness, and that's just not true. Go ahead, Larry.
You know, there's folks out there who've fallen into the false, seductive teaching of love, 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 and it's only our kind of love that you're supposed to pay attention to. Not only have they fallen into the trap of having their mindset that way, they've fallen into the trap of allowing themselves to take the blessings that God has put into their lives and take those blessings and give them right back to Satan by what they do with them.
They do. Make him twice the child of the devil. Feminism is rebellion. If you marched in that parade for women to have more freedom, I'm going to tell you this. You're not a Christian. You are promoting the destruction of the natural family. That's what you're doing. It's rebellion against the natural order of God. That's what it is. And unfortunately, that feminist spirit crept into our churches. See, you don't have to like it. Sometimes God's love hurts. And if you're going to be a Bible-believing Christian, which I am, then I think it's very clear. The natural family starts with the father. Are you ready for this one? You want to know how much we got screwed it up, stuff screwed up? I'm about done. In American courts, when a divorce takes place, who gets the kids? Yeah. In the Bible, who do those kids belong to? They belong to the father. They don't belong to the mother. Little subtle things everywhere we go. Roger, you know that in the court of law, the mother always gets its kids. The dad has to fight for what the Bible says belongs to him. That family structure. Hey, if you love them, you tell them the truth. Sometimes God's love hurts. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.